Now let's continue on in Luke 14. Let's see what Jesus said. So anyone who is a Christian or claims to be a Christian, what you need to do is measure your life by the words of Christ. And you will see that the words of Christ and the words of the apostles all agree. Now notice, so you also have to ask the question yourself, what is most important in my life? Is it God and truth? Is that first? Or is it community and fellowship and the church group I attend first? Because Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and in addition to his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So you call yourself a Christian, but this tells us in the Greek, the strongest negation possible. Ook, meaning the impossibility of being a disciple of Jesus. So we have to make the choice. Now this choice, we have to make at baptism, but let's also understand something else. This is a choice that we have to make ongoing the rest of our life too, isn't it? Yes. And too many people, after they have made the decision to be baptized and repented, all right, then you forget the thing concerning even the daily prayer, and even the Protestants, they recite the prayer. And don't the Catholics recite it by rote? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? Jesus also said to those teachers who were professing to teach in his name, he said that the only one that God is going to listen to is the one who's practicing the will of the Father who's in heaven. Don't come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Oh, I was a magnificent preacher. Yes, Joel, you really were, but you weren't preaching my word. Didn't we do many wonderful works? All the works of community, right? Feed the poor. But do you teach them how not to remain poor? Feeding them, that's good. That's so they can stay alive long enough so then you can teach them how not to be poor. Quit sinning, quit drinking, quit taking drugs, quit committing adultery and fornication and homosexuality. Get rid of your idols, quit keeping Sunday. All of those things. And we're going to see the Sabbath is a key thing, just like we read there in Isaiah 58. It gets down to the Sabbath as the starting point after God has drawn you so you can repent and be baptized. Okay, let's go on. Verse 27, because it's not easy. And whoever does not carry his cross. Now, the cross here is the cross beam for the crucifixion. And what did Paul say? What did Paul say? Hold your place here and come to Romans, the sixth chapter. What did Paul say about baptism? See? Because we have to get rid of Romans 6. We have to overcome human nature as the way of life as a true Christian. And that's the whole rest of the story of the New Testament, you see. Okay. Baptism in the covenant way. Now, let's pick it up here in, let's go back here to verse 1 because it all flows along because this is the same mistake that's going to happen. When they start preaching grace, 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 and they don't even understand what grace is, look out. Changes of doctrine are coming. When they start saying, Jesus, 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 look out. Another Jesus is going to be introduced. You need to realize that. And too many of them, when the Church of God split up, they said, well, let's get the people first, and we'll talk about doctrine. When it is doctrine, which is the Word of God, the sword of the Lord, which divides. And God expects it to be divided. What did Jesus say? Don't think I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword to set a man against his father and the father against his son and the mother against her daughter and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. There'll be five in one house, three against two. And anyone who does not love me more than these is not worthy of me. So when you talk about carrying the cross, that means putting to death the human nature that you have through the Spirit of God. Verse 1, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin? That is going against the commandments of God. Now, when change is introduced, they never say, here's a nice little sin that we would like you to embrace because it's really fun. No, they say, this is new truth from God. A lie. See? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? May it never be. And you'll notice it's in capital letters. Because the Greek means, may this never come to be. Mi genoito. Okay? We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? That's why you carry your cross. And if you don't carry your cross, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into the death. Oh, everyone likes to say, oh, Jesus died for my sins. What does that mean? What are you supposed to do? How would you be if someone died for you? What would you do? How would you react? Well, if they're in armed services, they give the survivors medals. Christ wants to give you eternal life, but it's on his terms, not our terms, you see. The death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way, we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been conjoined together in the likeness of his death, so also shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now we need to understand that and realize that. Now verse 9. Knowing this, that our old man was co-crucified with him. That's why Jesus said, carry your cross. Because living in this world, God's way, is going to present difficulties because you're not of the world. So if you want to have your church experience conform to the world and Protestantism, then you're in trouble. Was crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, showing the process of growing and overcoming, you see. So that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. Because the one who has died to sin has been justified from sin. Now, if we died together with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has any dominion over him. For when he died unto sin once for all, but in that he lives unto God. In the same way also, you should indeed reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal body by obeying it in the lust thereof. Okay? So we've been crucified. That's why we take up our cross. Now back to Luke 14. Then he gives the example. Now this is something we need to do all the time. See? because there are going to be opportunities coming along where we can water down what God has to say. Okay. So then he says, what if you're like someone who builds a tower and you have to sit down first and count the cost, right? Whether you have sufficient to finish it. Well, with Christ, you do. With trying it your way without Christ, which is what Protestantism really has done, and Catholicism long ago really has done. See, and the way Satan wants to get everyone all together is to have them all give up on the Bible to where you can have goodness in religion and cooperation together, and that's going to solve our problems when it only creates another set of more severe problems, because in that you're rejecting God. So then he also talks about one who's going to go make war. Okay? Come down here to verse 33. In the same way also, each one of you who does not forsake all that he possesses cannot be my disciple. Think of that. Now, how do you do that? Does that mean you go out and sell everything? No. That means that you count all the possessions that you have compared to eternal life as nothing. Whatever physical possessions we have, we use correctly according to the way that God wants us to use it. We don't put our lust upon it, and we don't put our greed upon it, and we don't try and make that the center of our lives. See? And everyone is going to be a minister and teacher, and you've heard me say this how many times, so I'm going to say it again, because some people just never really, really get the point, even though they agree and shake their head. Okay? You must have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ first. And that is based upon truth. That is based upon the Spirit of God. That is based upon the Word of God. And here is how it should be. Let's come to Mark 12. Mark 12. Okay? Here is how it needs to be. And this is why. Every day is a new day. And this is why you need prayer and study every day. Because I'll guarantee you something that is absolutely true. If you don't pray and you don't study, things will go along kind of good for a while, and then all of a sudden something's going to happen. Bang! And then you're going to say, what happened? And you're not going to have the spiritual means, and you're not going to have the spiritual strength if you've gone too far to really recover. So you need to count that, because as I pointed out, counting cost is every day. But here is how our relationship with God is. Verse 28. And one of the scribes who had come up to him after hearing them reasoning together and perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, trick question, which is the first commandment of all? Then Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments, plural, is, hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, the Lord. Elohim has the Lord, the Lord. And that is the correct translation. You can read it in the appendices. Okay? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. That has to be paramount in our lives. That's why Jesus said that none can come to me unless he hate his father and mother and brother and sister and wife and children, and yes, his own life also. Now, why would he say that? Because none of them, and not even yourself, can give you eternal life. You want eternal life? Isn't that why you were baptized? Isn't that why you agreed to the covenant? Yes. Well, eternal life is not going to come from what you are. It's going to come from what God is. So you have to be loving God this way. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. And he said, keep my words. That's the only way you're going to receive and retain the Holy Spirit of God. Now then, he says, the second one is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, come back here to Revelation, the second chapter, and let's see what happens when people put the second commandment first and think that puts them in spiritual standing with God. Now, it's good to do those things. Like I said, it's good to feed the poor. It's good to take care of those who have need. But if that is the primary and other events similar to that of your church activity, then you have had your reward. Don't expect eternal life. Now, you may start out well. Right here, church at Ephesus. Okay? Verse 2. I know your works and your labor, your endurance, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you did test those who proclaim themselves to be apostles and are not, but did find them liars. Good. That's what most everyone did right at first, because they heard the scripture prove all things, hold fast that which is good. They heard the scripture which says, search the scriptures, see whether these things are so. Okay? Now, the problem is they weren't vigilant the way that they should have been. And that you have borne much and have endured for my name's sake and have labored and have not grown weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You left loving God. You got so busy in activities. Notice what he says. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. For if you do not, I will come to you quickly and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. All right. Apply that to yourself individually, because it happens one person at a time. So when they get all wrapped up, and this is the heart and core of Protestantism, they're all wrapped up in doing these things. And this becomes the center of the church. The church becomes a social club accepting certain doctrines, whether many or few, and that the church has many activities for people to do to keep them busy. If you want to know about activities, ask a Mormon. They have a lot of activities. And if you want to know about tithes and offerings, ask a Mormon. Because they have to go reconcile their income tax every year with the local bishop. And if they haven't paid enough, they better pony up. Now, here's what Todd wrote concerning his observation of most Protestant leaders. It is my observation that most Protestant leaders have developed an implicit means that implicit means the belief that the greatest good is development of a Christian community through service, fellowship, and unity. Whereas the Bible teaches the greatest good is your relationship with God and developing the mind of Jesus Christ and preparing for eternal life, you see. So the Protestants are not Christian in the sense that they're in right standing with God the Father and Jesus Christ. They may have Christian values, and they don't even understand how they throw away the Sabbath, throw away the holy days, throw away a lot of things, see. And they don't want any disputes to disturb the community. So he says, this is done with the idea that heaven is the future promise to the one who is faithfully engaged in this community-building activity. Why? Doesn't that sound like Satan, what Satan gave to Adam and Eve? Yes. Two problems arise. First, community-building takes priority over all other human activities, including the pursuit of biblical truth, where the pursuit of biblical truth must be primary. Second, Everyone has his own poorly defined idea of heaven. The promise of heaven feels very real. The details of heaven are poorly developed. Well, Jesus said, no one has seen the Father. John wrote in John, the third chapter, that no one has ascended to heaven except the Son of Man, who's in the bosom of the Father. This seems a conundrum. So how do you approach people who believe lies is truth to convince them that their truth is a lie? All right. The starting point is the ability to admit to oneself that truth is real and it is possible that I have believed a lie. So that's a starting point I'm going to have to use at church at home in a very detailed way. How do you know? How do you know? Okay. It seems the initial focus should be the topic of truth in that pastor's life. Do you really believe the truth? Now, you say you believe in Jesus. What did he say of himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe that? Do you know what truth is? What is your definition of truth? What is it that you believe is true? Now, a lot of pastors will admit that Sabbath is the day to keep, but they keep Sunday. That means you have no conviction of truth. And if you're not convicted of truth, then you believe a lie. You can know things to be true. I mean, you can sit down and eat a meal and say, oh, I know there's arsenic in here, but it won't affect me. Or like a drug addict saying, well, you know, I can handle this. And they become drug addicts, meth, cocaine, heroin. And when they burn heroin, I didn't know this until reading a book about an addict who had overcome being an addict. But when they burn heroin and the smoke comes up, they call that the dragon's tail. And they sniff it. Not a lot of people have done that with their lives, with religion, with the lies of religion. So the initial focus should be on the topic of truth. But whatever the flashpoint, it is ultimately necessary to realize the true focus of Catholic and Protestant faith is community and the promise of heaven. So I'm going to have to speak on that at church at home. We got a lot of church at home programs we're going to have to do. We're almost up to 200 now, but by the time we get done with this, we'll be close to 300, I guess. Now, this helps us understand something. If you understand the true focus of Catholic and Protestant faith is community and the promise of heaven. Now, what is the sign out here in the church that we meet in? And we meet in one of their auxiliary rooms. It is called the community of Christ. So you see, the seeds of worldwide ecumenism is being worked everywhere, in every religion. Satan is busy, his ministers are busy, and the Church of God is not exempt. So, Todd writes, this explains why so much false doctrine can be tolerated, especially when the false doctrine serves the purpose of building a more loving, unified, inclusive fellowship. Think of that. As the focus on community grows, so does the threat of absolute truth. I have my little empire built up here. We have all of these good people. So, Mr. Joel Osteen, would you like to stand up and command all of your hand-clapping do-gooders there to repent, be baptized, keep the Sabbath, keep the holy days, love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and being, or are you still going to preach humanism in the name of Jesus? Whatever you choose, and whoever the minister may be, guess what your reward will be. As a denominational movement, it is easy to imagine that the ordination of gay and lesbian clergy in the Methodist and Presbyterian churches will be a flashpoint for many. Maybe this could be the first flashpoint topic to be developed. Okay? So he knows people who have done that and are participating in it. So I appreciate what he wrote me and his input on this, and I would appreciate anything that anyone else could also send me. Okay? Now, let's come to Romans, the 9th chapter. Now, I mentioned this, but let's focus on this, because you see, you can have it partially correct, and you think that you have it wholly correct. But it is like having a combination to a safe, and you're missing a number. You can't open it. And the numbers you have are good numbers, but the one that you're missing is the key. So likewise, you have to have all of Christ, all of the Father, all of the commandments of God, and you yourself must have the Spirit of God. See, because that's the missing number in the combination. That's why we're told to repent and be baptized. Okay? Okay. Let's pick it up here concerning Romans 9, verse 31. But Israel, although they followed after a law of righteousness, they had the commandments of God. Same way with Protestants, they have that. But they have their traditions, see? And their traditions, Sunday is a work of law, a tradition of men, correct? Even the Catholics admit it. That's why in the Bible here we have Rome's challenge to the Protestants. Go back and read that again and read how that would... Cardinal Gibbons nailed it to the wall. Okay? Although they followed a law of righteousness, did not attain to a law of righteousness. Why? Why? Verse 32. Because they did not seek it by faith, but by works of law. Now, today, Protestantism has that all turned around. See? And works of law here means the traditions of men that became law. Protestants have traditions, Catholic have traditions, Jews have traditions, Buddhist, Hindus. All the religions of men are based on tradition. Now, they may have some scripture sprinkled into it, but that does not equate to the righteousness of God. For they stumbled at the stone of stumbling, and that's exactly, though they used the name of Christ, pronounced the name of Christ, claimed the name of Christ, they immediately turned their backs on him through their traditions. And they claim a grace that God never gave. They claim a salvation that God never gave. Because the true Christ is a stumbling block and a rock of offense. So every Sunday-keeping pastor, if you stumble on the Sabbath and you stumble on the truth, you're stumbling on Christ because he's the one who gave the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to make it to keep it holy. He is the one who created it. And he's not going to oblige any human being by doing away with his law, because he said he didn't come to do away with the law or the prophets. And he said, until heaven and earth pass away. Are we still here on the earth? Yes, we are. Is the heaven still there? Last time I looked. He said, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. So all of those who believe that are in error, though they claim the name of Christ. All of those who teach that are teaching lies, and you're causing people to be led into sin. So your community activity and all of your do-gooderism is leading people into sin against God because you have left off loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being. Now let's finish verse 33. But everyone who believes in him shall not be ashamed. And that belief must be accompanied by obedience. In the spirit of the meaning of all the commandments of God as amplified and magnified by Jesus Christ. Now chapter 10. Brethren, the earnest desire of my heart and supplication to God for Israel is for salvation. For I testify of them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. That's exactly what Christians today have. They don't have the knowledge of God. For they, being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And establishing their own righteousness are the traditions that they have invented and created and followed, regardless of what they are. And so works of law in relationship to Judaism is all the traditions that the Jews had, and those were the laws that they demanded everyone to follow. And furthermore, if you don't have the book, Judaism, a revelation of God or a religion of men, you better get it and you better read it by Phil Neal, our editor. Because every rabbi was to be obeyed above obeying God. And even the traditions of the rabbis, God had to accept. That's what Judaism claims. Now, someone's going to say, oh, well, that's Judaism. All right. What do Catholics and Protestants say? You must obey the Pope, or you must obey the Church. You must obey what is taught from the pulpit. Is not Sunday tradition? Yes. Halloween, Easter, Christmas, are they not tradition? Yes. Those are works of law by men. And you need to understand that Jesus said in Mark 7, full well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own traditions. Now, you can understand verse 4. For Christ is the end of works of law, that is the traditions of men that are made laws to replace the laws of God. Christ ends those. They are all null and void. And yet, Satan has his crafty lie by coming back and saying, well, all of those who try and keep the commandments of God are trying to receive salvation by works, and that is an utter absolute lie. You end all the religious traditions of men for righteousness. Christ is the end of the works of law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Okay? Now, let's see where we're going to go from here, okay? All right, let's talk a little bit more about blindness. Come here to Romans 11, okay? Romans 11 and verse 25. Now you see, Catholics, the Protestants, and the Jews are all in the same category as far as God is concerned. Perhaps the Jews, a little more trouble, because they've rejected Christ and rejected the New Testament. But the Protestants have rejected the Old Testament and the laws of God, so they're pretty much in the same boat. And the Catholics brag that they can preach the gospel without the Bible. See? So all of their hypocritical pretense of using the Word of God to teach is just that. It's a hypocritical pretense. Now why? Even though they have the Bible. See? Verse 25. For I do not wish you to be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, in order that you may not be wise in your own conceits, that a partial hardening of the heart has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, so that all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. Okay? So they have a hardness of heart in the same way. The Jews stumble at Christ, the Protestants have another Jesus, and the Catholics are wholly pagan, attaching the name of Christ to it. They're exactly in the same situation. They are blind. And also happens in the churches of God. Now let's see the end result of that. Let's come to Luke 6. Let's see what Jesus said. Luke 6 and verse 39. Okay? Luke 6 and verse 39. This helps us to understand, you see. We're to preach the word. That's what Paul said. And the reason that there are so many problems is because people like to tell God what to do. And that comes in the form of misinterpretations and going along with human nature and lust. Now, so here's the end result of it. So I want you to put on your thinking cap, Luke 6, verse 39, okay? Think about what has happened in the churches of God. Think about what is happening in Protestantism. Think about what's happening in Catholicism. And Satan is getting them all ready for the grand, magnificent entrance of the beast and the false prophet. So they're all varying degrees of blindness. Verse 39, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, is a blind man able to lead a blind man? Will not both fall into the ditch? Isn't that what's going to happen? Yes, indeed. Look back and see. If you know anything about Pasadena, Big Sandy, and Bricketwood, ask the question. Where is it now? Why did God take it away? Did he just take it away because he was selfish and didn't want them to have it? Is that it? Or was there a reason? Verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher. Tremendous thing to understand, because whenever, and who is the teacher? Jesus is the teacher, right? He said, I'm your Lord and teacher, correct? Yes. He said that when he washed the apostles' feet on the last night of his Passover, right? Yes, he did. He said the same thing. Disciple is not above his teacher, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. Okay, same thing here. Whenever anyone brings in a misinterpretation or false doctrine, they are setting themselves at, and claiming Christ for it, or claiming God for it. So this includes Jews, Protestants, and Catholics. You are making yourself greater than Christ. Need to think about that. But everyone who is perfected, that means the full growth of Christianity, the way God wants it with his Spirit, shall be like his teacher. So that's quite a thing. If the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. Now let's come here to John, the 9th chapter, and let's see the conclusion of this. Because blindness is quite a thing. We'll talk about blindness a little later on when I get down to Hollister. We'll finish up the blindness. Maybe we can open the eyes. Okay. Now here's an account that there was a man born blind for the very purpose of Jesus healing him. He healed him. His parents said, this is our son. They ask him, who did this? How did he do it? And he told them twice. And then they said, well, we know this man is a sinner because he breaks the Sabbath. Well, he didn't break the Sabbath. Jesus never sinned. He said, we're Moses. And the blind man who could see looked at them and he said, how can this be? that a man has healed someone who is blind from birth, and that's never been heard of from the beginning of the world. So this man has to be of God. And they got all mad and said, "You're his disciple." Kicked him and his mother and father out of the synagogue. Disfellowship from the community. You can no longer belong with us because you believe the truth and we don't want to believe the truth, see. All right, so I just paraphrased the whole chapter. Verse 40 now. John 9 and verse 40. "And those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things. And they said to him, 'Are we also blind?' And Jesus said, 'If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in a ditch.'" Isn't that correct? Where is Judaism and Protestantism and Catholicism? Aren't they in the ditch? "Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now you say, "We see." Therefore, your sin remains." So anyone who claims they have a greater vision of what is taught in the Bible, that they don't need the Bible, they don't need the laws of God, they're blind and their sin remains. And their whole religious operation has no forgiveness of sin whatsoever. But it is a feel-good system of community and doing good works and rejecting God and rejecting Christ. And they are so blind, they don't even know it. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.